Next month, the new freshman class of Congress will take their seats in the House of Representatives, and among them will be the youngest black woman ever elected to Congress, 32-year-old Lauren Underwood. Underwood unseated a four-term Republican incumbent to win Illinois' 14th district, and she joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, and you're going to be among the youngest members of Congress. So I want to start by asking you about something that is very important to young people in this country, and that's student loans. 44 million Americans are now shouldering $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. Young people under the age of 35 hold almost half that debt. Is that a big issue for you as you start in Congress, since you're going to be among the youngest?
Certainly. It's very clear that we are in the midst of a student loan crisis in our country. So many of my peers, I graduated from college in 2008, in the spring of 2008. And as we all know, in the fall of 2008, our economy and our country just collapsed. And so many in my cohort specifically remain underemployed, perhaps underpaid, and have significant loan debt that has become a real barrier and obstacle to be able to meet major life milestones like purchasing a home, saving for retirement, being able to plan forward in the future. And when I think about the opportunities for intervention, I really identify a few things. Number one, we have to have a financial aid system that reflects the way that the modern student approaches higher education. So we know that in this country, the average college student is not 18 or 19 years old. The average college student is maybe 27 or 35 and is going to a four-year institution year-round in order to complete their degree as quickly as possible. And our current financial aid system, specifically Pell Grants, don't allow for those students to use their grant in perhaps like a spring or summer term, right? They're not allowed to use it year-round. I think that that is an opportunity for some modernization. Second thing we can do is make sure that the subsidized student loans and that Pell Grant are now in combination going to reflect the total cost of tuition. It's no secret that tuition prices have been rising as the share of federal and state investment in higher education has been dropping. And so those costs are now being passed on directly to the students and the families. And so we have an opportunity at the federal level to make sure that the Pell Grants and the subsidized loans are reflecting the true cost of tuition payments. And that's going to be one of my priorities, certainly, heading into Congress, is making sure that we have a modern federal financial aid system.
Well, and do you think that what you're talking about, though, is going to be doable? This has been a problem that has existed for many years. It's only gotten worse. And it doesn't seem like there's been an appetite in Washington to actually focus on it and do something about it.
Well, you know, one of the opportunities here is that in our oversight role, it's very clear that Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education has been trying to unilaterally dismantle public education in our country, take away protections from K-12 students and college students. And so this is going to be an area where, like it or not, people are going to have to intervene in this education space. So it's my hope that as we're doing some oversight activities to protect these core civil rights and protections, we're also going to be able to work on this looming economic crisis that is really holding back millennials and Generation Z. This is not a problem that our generation created. We are simply experiencing some market forces and lack of government investment in higher education, and it's really coming to a head. And so burying our heads in the sand as a Congress is not an option. And so I am looking forward to being a strong voice in support of reform.
One of your fellow members of Congress from Illinois, Democrat Bill Foster, has come out against Nancy Pelosi in her bid to be the Speaker of the House. You supported Pelosi, but do you think that Democrats and Nancy Pelosi should figure out who the next person is going to be to satisfy people like Bill Foster who want a succession plan and want somebody younger to take over?
Well, I can't speak for Congressman Foster, but what I will say is that, you know, it's very clear that the American people are interested in a new generation of leadership. And with the election of, you know, candidates like myself and my new colleagues and this 100 incoming new members in the 116th Congress, we have lowered the average age of Congress with our election because at 32 years old, I am not the youngest member, right?
Right.
And so that says something. There are at least least three women younger than me. There's another 32-year-old man in our freshman class.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is younger than you, right? She's in her 20s.
Well, right. Alexandria, Abby Fichenauer, Katie Hill. Those three women are younger than me. Josh Harder is also 32 from California. And then there's a few others that are still millennials that are a couple years older than me. And so we as a cohort represent the beginning of this generational shift. And so I believe that Leader Pelosi recognizes this desire in the caucus. We certainly have younger leaders in Democratic in the leadership, elected leadership in our caucus now. And I think that this is something that we are going to continue to see occur over in the next several years. I am not going to say that this is just a Nancy Pelosi problem. This is something that all of the Democrats in the caucus, as we vote for leadership, certainly should keep in mind and recognize the potential in so many of our colleagues.
Well, it's not just Nancy Pelosi, as you say. I mean, there are also two other people in their late 70s who are in the Democratic leadership right now. Do you think at least one person in the three should be somebody that's younger?
Well, first of all, we've already voted. Right. So this has happened. I supported Leader Pelosi, Majority Leader or incoming Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and incoming Whip Jim Clyburn. And I have great faith in their leadership, and I believe that they will do an excellent job on behalf of the American people. Now, in terms of a pipeline, I do think that, you know, they have heard the message loud and clear. And I have offered myself as someone who is willing to step up when needed to help as situations arise, right? And I know I'm not the only one. So many of us ran because it's very clear that this moment in our country is calling for great leadership. And that type of leadership is not one that's limited to any one generation.
Now, you aren't the youngest, as you say, but you are the youngest Black woman ever elected to Congress. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, the Congress is an institution that at the dawn of our country, only white, wealthy male landowners were allowed to serve in the Congress, were allowed to cast a vote in this country. We have not seen or heard from younger women of color in any type of cohort or any significant way. And when I say significant, I mean beyond just one pioneering voice. And now there are a few of us under 40 serving in Congress, people, you know, younger women of color. And I think that this is a really special moment in our nation's history, because when we think about our country and the changing demographics of our country, it's vitally important that all of us are represented. It's clear that representation matters in the policies we address, how we approach the job, and the perspectives that we bring to the work. And I am so honored to stand on the shoulders of giants who came before me. You know, our election day was 50 years and one day after Shirley Chisholm was first elected to the Congress. And I know that I have been inspired by her leadership, in addition to so many of the other members who are incoming. I don't think that Shirley Chisholm's portrait has been on social media more than it had been during our 2 weeks of orientation, because as I watched the Twitter and the Instagram of my new colleagues, right, I saw so many of us stopping by Ms. Shirley's portrait and reflecting on the wonderful opportunity that all of us have to lead and to cast a vote in this esteemed body. And so it's not just my story, right? But I'm thinking of the Ayanna Pressleys and the Johanna Hayes's and the Lucy McBath and the Alexandrias and all of our new colleagues coming into the Congress who have been inspired by her exceptional leadership.
That is Lauren Underwood, who will be one of the 40 new, at least 40 new Democrats taking seats in the House of Representatives next month. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's been real fun. Looking forward to keeping people updated after swearing in. It's going to be a really exciting time, and I'm looking forward to getting to work.
One of the many conversations we've been having with some of the new members of Congress.